Hey, Laurel.
Hey, John.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. So I hear there was a big reunion in town. What was it? Old man Sean Johnson's 50th high school reunion?
No, I think that's next year. I think you might be referring to the reunion of the State Capitol Press Corps with a room that we know and love in the Capitol, that famous beige room.
You mean JFC?
I sure do. The Joint Finance Committee room. We had two meetings in JFC this week.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it a little bit unusual for JFC to be meeting this time of year?
It is indeed, sir. These were rather unique circumstances.
Well then, let's talk about it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's talk about political reunions. How could we not play Reunited, the hit song from R&B vocal duo Peaches and Herb from their 1979 album Too Hot with a numeral 2? You and your friends at the press corps were also reunited, much like Peaches and Herb were after they took a small breakup and learned some lessons and then reunited, and it felt so good.
It's so true. You know, I have a confession, actually. I came up with this idea for the intro for the podcast, like, very organically. Normally, you and Sean are, like, the idea guys for the intro. But the morning that we had the JFC hearing for the first time in, like, months, we haven't been to JFC for a while, as we mentioned. And I was, like, walking around my kitchen, and I was making coffee, and I caught myself humming this song. Which is, like, so nerdy. I was, like, preparing for a day, going back to JFC. I'm being reunited with JFC. I was, podcast idea. So there's a little behind the scenes.
So you were making a cup of coffee, and you were getting jazzed about being reunited with your colleagues in the press corps and with the beige room of Joint Finance Committee. Mm-hmm. So they met twice this week. What was the first thing they met about?
So they met on Tuesday about Governor-elect Tony Evers' transition budget. And this is something that they do, like, every time there's a new governor elected, that the incumbent isn't elected. They've got to get together and approve the transition budget so the governor-elect can pay for the things he needs to pay for as he's getting ready.
So, like, what, they're going to the new IKEA and they're going to blow $95,000 on Pong chairs? And some, you know, whatever other furniture items they need for the new gubernatorial office.
I just hope they keep those big blue bags, you know, because those come in handy.
Ooh, yeah. Those... Well, those cost extra, though.
Oh, that's true. But I think there's a good ROI on that. And I feel like you could justify that to JFC.
How many blue IKEA bags could you get for $95,000?
A lot. We didn't say, like, you spoiled the amount, but it is $94,600. Is what Evers asked for and what he got with the unanimous vote.
And so what does that really, what does that money really go towards?
So it really goes toward the staff that he has right now. So he has 7, I believe, full-time staff that are helping him kind of hire more people. He's got to hire the whole governor's office staff. He's got to figure out who he's going to appoint to various cabinet positions, and he's only got, like, how many weeks is it until January 7th? Probably, like, 7 weeks?
I don't know.
6 weeks? Something like that.
We could count it out, but we're not going to.
No, we're not. You guys out there in podcast land know it's, you know.
You can pause right here, and you can look up on your calendar how many weeks it is till Inauguration Day, and then get back to us on that.
Yeah. So, welcome back. Now you know the number of weeks. Imagine hiring, like, an entire company in that amount of time. And that's kind of what the Tony Evers transition team is trying to do right now.
So the Joint Finance Committee, or Joint Committee on Finance, controlled by Republicans, but they decided to give the incoming Evers administration the money that he asked for. Mm-hmm. Is that unusual? Is there any, like, Is it just sort of a matter of course?
I don't think, this is the first transition budget I've covered, so I can't say from personal experience, but I do know that the head of the Legislative Fiscal Bureau testified at the beginning of this and said that the amount that Evers and his team asked for was pretty much in line with what Governor Scott Walker got and what Governor Jim Doyle got in the past. The number's higher, but he said that that's basically just inflation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a pretty kind of like run-of-the-mill thing. There wasn't any debate about it. It was a unanimous vote. I think they were gaveled in and out within like 5 minutes. So a pretty quick and easy meeting for joint finance.
The reunion, the first reunion at least, was mm-hmm. quite brief.
It was brief and positive. You know, good feelings. Everybody kind of made jokes about like, haha, what a great start. We should do everything where we can all agree.
So that was day one in mm-hmm. the beige room.
Mm-hmm.
But what was day two?
Well, they gave us a little taste of joint finance and we were like, it's been so long. It was so great to be back. Let's go back again tomorrow. And so we did. We went back on Wednesday for a substantially longer hearing about the incentive package, the tax incentives package for Kimberly-Clark, which still, as you know, hasn't passed the state Senate. So it was a public hearing on that.
So what was heard at the public hearing on that?
So this was an interesting opportunity to sort of like have public input on this bill several months after it passed the state assembly. That was back in February, which feels like years ago at this point. There's been so much news that has happened. So this was the Senate had already had this go through a regular Senate committee, but they referred it to joint finance, as they do sometimes for bills that are particularly expensive. So it was another
particularly financy.
Right. Exactly. When they reach their peak financiness, then they sometimes go to joint finance for a hearing. And so it was an opportunity for people to come back as, you know, this bill is being discussed now in this final push to bring it back before the Senate, to say why they think it's a good idea or why they think it's a bad idea. And a number of officials, local government officials from the Fox Valley, where this Kimberly-Clark plant is that might close, came and talked about Kimberly-Clark's effect on the community, how important it is there. Kimberly-Clark employees came and talked about, you know, working for the company, why they like it, why it's valuable, sort of like personal stories. And then there was also at least one person who testified against the bill who works at Kimberly-Clark, and she said that she doesn't support the state approving the incentive package because she believes it to be corporate blackmail, and she doesn't want the state to engage with companies that are seeking incentives like this.
Were most of the people who were testifying in favor of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a large majority was testifying in favor. So we had a lot of people from the area, you know, business associations, things like that, and employees saying that the state should support it.
Huh, that's interesting, though, that at least one employee of the company who could theoretically lose her job was testifying against this.
Yeah, basically what she said was that, you know, unemployment is low in Wisconsin. There are other good jobs that she could get, and she would rather lose her job than see the state offer an incentive to a company like Kimberly-Clark.
And so it took you like 4 full hours of reunion here to get this one?
Yeah, it was, you know, and for joint finance, I would say that's like a solidly like middle of the road, maybe even kind of short hearing. there are times during the budget season when we're in there for double digit hours. So it was a nice reunion, a pleasant reunion, but not like super long in terms of JFC time.
Like Peaches and Herb spending a nice afternoon together.
Exactly. Good stroll in the park, picnic, and then wave adieu.
Walking in the park and having picnics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an extended longer version of that song where they just describe all sorts of activities that they do together.
Yeah, and the snacks from the picnic.
We had sandwiches they made with ham, some relish and some mustard on the side.
It's on the deep cut of the album, you know, like it's like a bonus track. It's only the real fans of Peaches and Herb know about that one.
The real fans. No disrespect to Peaches and Herb.
I'm not like super versed in the oeuvre of Peaches and Herb. They might have a few other big hits. That was before my time. We don't have old man Sean Johnson here to ask about, like, what was the music of the day? Was Peaches and Herb, like, a big deal? Maybe they
Well, let me tell you, they first came on the scene in 1975.
He went to their first show. He probably has a t-shirt.
So, anyway, there is also one more reunion that we want to talk about, right?
Yes, there is. Great segue, by the way.
Thank you.
So then we had a really notable reunion, the Capitol Press Corps. Not that the JFC reunion wasn't great, but we were also reunited with Governor Scott Walker this week after he had taken kind of a break from the public eye after last week's election. He hadn't been around too much. He had posted something on social media saying he wanted to give Governor-elect Tony Evers a little bit of time to, you know, speak with the media and the public and stuff before Walker was also on the airwaves. But he made an appearance in the Capitol yesterday afternoon, and we were able to ask him some questions about the election and new proposals in the state legislature, maybe for the lame duck session, and all sorts of other goodies. Kimberly Clark, et cetera.
You would think that we'd been separate. Kimberly Clark, right?
He did, absolutely. And he proposed the Kimberly Clark incentive package back in January, and so obviously he's very invested in seeing it pass. So he talked a little bit about, you know, the conversations that he's had with the Senate leader and the Assembly leader, just about, you know, whether they can get enough support in the Senate to get it to pass, how he would potentially veto the bill. There's been a lot of discussion about that. Some Democrats have voiced concern about, you know, what if this bill passes and then Walker changes it substantially with a veto? Mm-hmm. We want to know if you guys are talking about vetoes that he might make, we want to know what those are. So the governor said yesterday that he does not intend to make any like substantial vetoes to the bill if it passes. He said he doesn't want to jeopardize the agreement that Kimberly Clark came to with its employees, those union negotiations that were over the summer. So he was able to address that a little bit and just say he's doing all he can to urge the state Senate to pass it before the end of the year.
And this was also this was the first time that you were reunited with him as the press corps since the results of the election, since he was defeated by Tony Evers. What did he have to say about that?
So, I mean, kind of the first question that we asked him was, what did you think of the result? Like, why do you think that you weren't able to win re-election? And he said that he's going to leave it to the pundits to have that sort of analysis type conversation. But he did single out one factor. He talked a little bit about turnout in this race, which is something that, of course, reporters have been talking about a lot because it was an unprecedentedly large turnout for a midterm election in Wisconsin. He said, you know, this was a really unique race. He said, you know, the number of votes that he got this year would have won either of his elections in the past. The governor actually got more votes in 2018 than he got in 2014 or 2010 when he won those races.
It just happens that more people voted against him as well.
Right, exactly. It was just an incredibly high turnout race. So he said he doesn't see his loss as a rejection. He said it was just a unique election.
I mean, he even at some point sort of came up with a positive spin on the election loss, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting because, of course, another thing that we asked him about in this press conference was, what about these proposals for the lame duck session? And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But he said, you know, people have been reaching out to me and saying you should do some big things these last 2 months before Governor-elect Evers is inaugurated. And he said, well, there really aren't that many more big things for me to do. Like, what haven't we done? He asked this sort of incredulously. And he said, we've done so much for conservative reform in Wisconsin. He said that Wisconsin has been a leader in the United States for conservative reform. And he said, in fact, I may have just reformed myself out of a job. So he was kind of saying that, you know, he's made changes. The state economy is doing well. The unemployment rate's historically low. And so he's accomplished all he needs to accomplish. And
I mean, I think if you had asked him the week before Election Day whether or not he had done all that he needed to do, he would say something totally different. But now, coming after the election, he's sort of looking back and talking about his record and saying, we've done lots and lots of really big things.
Exactly, yeah. He was very reflective and sort of saying, like, this is my kind of laundry list or resume of accomplishments, and there's really nothing left that I want to do in these last couple months. So it's interesting because his kind of final push to voters before the election was like, let me finish the job.
Mm-hmm.
I have this, you know, we need to kind of tie a bow on it. And he's like,
job done.
Actually, yep, bow was tied.
Didn't he even at some point make some mic drop reference?
He did. He did. It was kind of funny. I feel like the governor was like a little bit more casual and loose, especially at the beginning of this press conference. I felt like the vibe was just a little bit different. I mean, obviously, this is a unique circumstance and everything, and the first time we'd seen him since the election. But when he said, I may have reformed myself out of a job, he was continuing on with his sentence, and then he stopped and kind of looked up at reporters and said, well, there's your soundbite right there. I'll just go now. he was kind of laughing, and he was like, yep, I'll just go now. Drop the mic. I'm gone.
Kind of meta.
It was a good
on
one.
On his part.
Yeah. He knows what's going on. He's been around for a while.
So you mentioned real briefly, you want to touch on things that could change to potentially limit power of a Governor Evers coming in and replacing mm-hmm. a Governor Walker?
Yeah. So this is something we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, and we were able to get the governor to weigh in on it yesterday. These proposals are kind of wonky and a little bit difficult to explain.
Which is why you should explain them in great detail.
Exactly. Now I will do that. So basically what they are, we don't have like the absolute, you know, we obviously don't have the text and we don't have like the fine details of these proposals, but we know the broad strokes have to do with the composition of some state boards. So lawmakers could change the makeup of boards so the governor's appointments aren't quite as influential. So maybe take some appointments away from the governor or add appointments that aren't gubernatorial.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about doing that for like the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Board, for example, which Evers said he wanted to get rid of Wiedek altogether during his campaign. He said he wants that agency gone and wants to have it replaced. So Walker said yesterday, you know, when you have a governor-elect saying he wants to get rid of this state agency, like mm-hmm. having the legislature have a little bit more power over those appointments makes sense, that if they support the agency, they should be able to kind of have a little bit more control over making sure it continues to exist or that people are on the board that support it. Another thing that lawmakers have talked about is codifying some of the rules that surround Wisconsin's voter ID law. So there are all these things called administrative rules, which we have talked about at length in the mm-hmm. podcast. I was going to say ad nauseum, but I feel like that has a negative connotation. And I know everybody loves
or at least
us when
Latin
we talk
connotation.
About. Yeah. And, you know, we don't need that here. Who speaks Latin anyway? But I know everybody out there in podcast land loves hearing about administrative rules and totally knows what they are at this point. But there are a bunch of those administrative rules that surround the voter ID law, and the governor has a lot of power to change those or rewrite them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you codify those and make them laws instead of rules, it takes away a little bit of Governor-elect Evers' power to, like, weaken the voter ID law. And Walker said that he was open to signing something like that, too.
It seemed like overall, though, he kind of downplayed the changes that he sees that the legislature could make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sort of talked about it like Senator Fitzgerald talked about it. And, like, you know, there's been a lot of media coverage of this, and these changes, as I've evaluated them, seem to be pretty reasonable and just sort of technical and small, making things law that are already rules that are in place, so that doesn't change anything. Making changes to the makeup of boards, that kind of thing. He definitely downplayed it.
Did anybody press him on that, though? Did anybody ask, like, well, would you have liked this to have been done when you were coming into office?
Yeah, absolutely. And he talked about, you know, the Doyle administration passing those employee contracts in the lame duck session before he took office. He said that his transition team had reached out to the Doyle administration and asked them not to do big mm-hmm. things before he took office and that they didn't listen. And so he said, you know, the pushback on this legislature doing things before Governor-elect Evers is inaugurated, it's sort of hypocritical for people not to tell them to do things because mm-hmm. the previous administration had done things. So it's just, it's an interesting kind of like back and forth. He is definitely downplaying like these things that we're talking about doing are not huge. In fact, there's really nothing huge that I want to do or think needs to be done because we've done everything in these next 5-6 weeks, whatever it is. But, you know, TBD, the actual date of this special session, where they're expected to take up these sort of like non-Kimberly-Clark things is not set yet, but it's expected to be sometime in December. So there certainly is some more time for lawmakers to meet with the governor, come up with some other proposals, debate some things. I mean, things are definitely bubbling up and changing day to day.
So there's things that could happen before the grand reunion of the state legislature when they all come together Indeed. Around this snowy December time.
Exactly. It will be a grand reunion amid the holiday season. What
all
a
right,
time to
then.
Reunite.
So magical.
Indeed.
Well, Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd. I sat here staring at the
same old wall. What's even more exciting than being reunited with a long-lost paramour? Getting a new episode of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week when you subscribe for new episodes on iTunes. You can also find it on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics. Like